And our last headline comes from a classroom near you. For many kids, school is out and the long summer break is in full swing. But closing the books may not be the best choice for your child's young and hungry mind. While kids can learn plenty from good old-fashioned play, they're not likely to pick up any algebra on the playground or hone their verb tenses at the multiplex. In fact, taking too long a break from traditional classroom study can lead to what's been called summer learning loss. On average, students who break for summer lose more than 2.5 months of math skills from the previous year. You do the math. That's a quarter of most school calendars. What's more, low-income students suffer an above-average loss in reading skills as well. That's all according to the Center for Summer Learning at Johns Hopkins University. It's also the reason many parents turn to educational summer programs to keep their kids' minds sharp and ready for fall. Gregory Sanders is one of those parents. Both of his daughters are students in the Higher Achievement Summer Program in Washington, D.C. He joins us now, as does Ron Fairchild, Executive Director of the Center for Summer Learning at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore. Gentlemen, nice to have you on.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tony. It's great to be here.
Let's start with you, Ron. Kids losing more than 2 months of information over the summer. That's a pretty shocking number, although the research backing it up is over 100 years old. What's going on now?
I think this is a classic example of research really providing the footnotes for common sense, and that if kids aren't engaged in ongoing learning activities, they lose ground academically. And I think everyone would expect an athlete's or a musician's performance to suffer if they didn't practice, and the same is true for our nation's young people.
Well, Gregory, you put your kids in the summer learning program. Did you notice a difference in their academic performance once school started again?
Oh, yes, I did. Found out that it kept them more engaged, made them want to actually learn more.
Really? Did you find that they were at all resistant to going to summer school?
Well, I wouldn't consider it summer school because it actually gives them a chance to do some of the things they like. One of my daughters loves to read, so it's gave an opportunity to do more reading and more writing.
Gregory, one of the things that I understand about your children also is that your oldest daughter is homeschooled. Talk about that and how the Higher Achievement Summer Program helped her with her home education.
Well, basically, one of the things it did allowed her to have an actual social outlet. Being a homeschooled child, being home with just her mother at times, it gave her a chance to be around other students who had the same academic drive as she did. And gave her a chance to see that she was not just being bright, but also give her a chance to be competitive with other students.
Ron, does having these programs, we know about the success of them, but does it put additional or perhaps undue pressure on students during the summer?
I actually think that the Higher Achievement Program is an excellent example of a program that provides the kind of academic enrichment that we would want for all of our young people, but does it in a creative and fun and innovative way. So it's not traditional school as most people would think about it. And I think most people have this wonderful image of what summer is all about for kids. And it's a time for something different, a time for recreation and vacation and creative exploration and enrichment. And I think what we see across the country is a reality that's very different from that image, and that for far too many of our young people and their families, summer really represents a real struggle to find these kinds of opportunities, like the ones that Gregory was describing, like the kind of programs that Higher Achievement and other program providers across the country do. They give kids a safe place to be with supportive adults that can supervise them. They create all kinds of educational opportunities in Richmond and provide the healthy meals and snacks that many kids go without over the summer.
Well, you know, you did mention something that I'd like to follow up on. There is this school of thought, and no pun intended there, that says kids need that summer break and that the downtime helps to rejuvenate their interest in school so that by the time August and September roll back around, they're ready and eager, in fact, sometimes to get back on campus. You don't see any benefit to that?
I think what they need maybe in some cases is just something different from what they get during the regular school year, and that difference might look or appear differently to different kids and different families. And so, you know, the idea, sure, kids need a break. They do need some time off. But if you talk to most kids and families after that first week or two of summer vacation, a lot of boredom creeps into that. And I think there are opportunities where we can send a really strong message that learning can be fun and enjoyable. And we can also do that in a way that sends kids back to school in the fall ready to learn, ready to succeed, and fully prepared for the challenge that they face in the fall.
Is there an effective model for this summer instruction that would describe how long, first of all, that instruction should be, and secondly, what form that instruction should take?
I think high-quality summer programs, such as higher achievement and other kinds of programs like that, typically provide 180 to 200 hours of focused learning time for kids to really hone their skills and their talents. They can be full-day programs that are run in partnership with community-based organizations and schools working together that provide the kind of opportunities for reading, for math reinforcement, for hands-on learning projects, for science exploration and things like that. And I think what parents need is, frankly, just more opportunities for kids to engage in programs like that. And research consistently shows that kids who participate in programs like that go back to school more ready and more prepared than kids who don't.
Well, Gregory, Ryan talked about the opportunities provided for parents who want to put their kids in these kinds of programs. Tell us about your experience finding the appropriate program for your children, how you went about it and how you got them in.
Well, one of the things is through their school system, they had an opportunity to come up with a particular contact, a lady named Vec Tucker, and we were very impressed on how she ran a program and things of that nature. And my oldest daughter, being one that loves to learn, she wanted an opportunity to speak, she wanted an opportunity to learn more, to read more, and this actually engaged her. It actually gave her an attitude that she wants to attend Stanford University. Even at the age of 12, she's very adamant on where she wants to go to school, so I figured this has helped her a lot, even with the after-school programs as well as the summer enrichment programs.
Ron, let me ask you, because it's important to understand, I think, that sometimes programs like these are easier, if I can put it that way, for students who perhaps are already motivated educationally and perhaps would be high achievers, kids like the ones that Gregory obviously has. But what about children who are a lower achieving? How much of a difficulty, if at all, there is one in getting them into these programs and helping them to succeed once they are in?
I think the key for parents and for teachers is to start with what interests young people. And typically there are camps and experiences available for young people if we look hard enough and we work hard enough with our kids to identify what really interests them and then connect learning activities to the things that interest and motivate young people. So I think that that's critically important. So that when young people have this time off over the summer, it can really be used to explore their own interests and their skills, and we can build bridges between what they like and what they enjoy and what they need to know and be able to do to be successful in school and really in talking about the new global economy and really be successful in the changing workplace that we're seeing in this country.
Well, let's say this. Let's say you can't go because you can't get in or you can't afford it. Ron, what do you do then? Are your kids just lost for the summer?
No, I think there's some very practical things that parents can do to make sure that their kids continue learning and participate in ongoing learning activities over the summer months. I think all kids should participate in summer reading programs at public libraries. Often, chambers of commerce, other business organizations and entities will support this notion of summer learning and summer reading activities, and there are rewards and incentives for kids who read books, and I think that's a wonderful opportunity that's free. Public libraries are accessible for every family. You're talking to teachers before the school year ends to make sure that parents get recommendations about what to do with their kids over the summer months. Taking educational trips that are low cost or free to parks, museums, science centers, and other opportunities like that in the community are a great idea. And then looking for daily opportunities to practice math, whether that's in the grocery store or going on trips, running errands, those kinds of things can also be teachable moments for young people over the summer months. And then importantly, to really get outside and play. I think there's a lot of an idea that kids are really going outside in their neighborhood and playing over the summer and that summer is sort of dominated by physical activity. And what we know from research is that for many young people, summer is not a time when they're engaged as physically engaged as they are during the school year. And that contributes to the problem of childhood obesity. So it's really important for parents to make sure their kids have opportunities to get outside, to play and engage in those kinds of things. So I think think all of those things, just as parents during the regular school year make sure that kids are doing homework and preparing for the next day of school, there are a similar set of responsibilities, I think, that parents have over the summer that we as parents have to make sure that our kids continue to learn.
All right, we'll stop right there. Gregory Sanders, a parent and police officer in the Washington, D.C. area. He joined us from our NPR headquarters, and from Baltimore, Maryland, Ron Fairchild. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Even if yella makes it a cappella, I still express, yo, I don't smoke weed or spit some drugs known to give a brother brain damage.
Just ahead, we talk entertainment with Newsweek reporter Allison Samuels, and from NWA to A-list music mogul, a new biography of Dr. Dre.